Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you're damn right we start now. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. In fact, earlier I was comparing Seth to Bill Walton.
And so he does have a little Bill Walton quality.
So maybe tie-dye shirts.
Hell?
Yeah. It was all good.
Damn it, that's true, though.
It was all good.
It was yeah. Definitely crap. Have quality. Yeah,
and incredibly interesting human being, worldly, really laid back. Although
fried out of my mind.
I've often said that. And then when you get to those spaces, you can go off on folks. Yes. I was cheering you on, Art. Yeah, I'm not gonna
exactly.
lie.
Exactly.
That was a good time. But yeah, 713-572-4610. Unfortunately, the Astros season is over.
Yeah, the Astros season is over. Now, I think where we need to start
over.
Is this the
thank
game?
You for that.
Thank
Fig.
You, Mark.
Appreciate you.
He actually seemed kind of happy. No, he didn't.
It's over.
But, you know, you start with the game itself and your takeaways. Now, we were watching it. Speaking of, I've watched the Astros in various places, and we were actually in a meeting, a company-wide meeting, and I had my legs crossed like I always do,
mm-hmm.
and I had the phone right here with the game on.
That's right.
And I'm watching the game throughout the whole meeting. Of course, I was paying attention to all the speakers.
That's right.
They were very, very, very closely.
Incredible numbers and graphs and figures.
I seen Lopez over there nodding off.
I was watching the game.
This dude was nodding off.
I had my head down. I was watching the game.
That was once his phone had died. That was what happened then. Yeah.
Then my phone died, and so then, made the old Irish exit, as it were, so I could watch the rest of the game. But the game itself, I thought, was significant, I know the morning guys talked about it, the afternoon guys are talked about it, but my as I'm watching the game and it ends the way it did, I realized you can cover up all kinds of flaws and shortcomings. You can make up for all kinds of flaws and shortcomings with various things, but they're always going to be there. Like, until the team changes itself, the makeup of the team and how it was put together, even though you overcame them, to their credit, big time, that's what got them. You know, those flaws and shortcomings that we talked about in May, that they overcame in July and August, that periodically, reared their heads, that's what got them. Like, if you really think about it, timely hitting, good Lord. I mean,
that was honestly one of the things for me, like, right. Where do you place the most blame? Cause I mean, in these moments you start, obviously it's one of the things about postseason play in any sport is that you are now hyper-focusing. Mm-hmm. Now we are, taking this down to the minutia, to the iota, looking at things. And so where do you post the most blame? And I was interested. I figured most people would go towards Hader or Presley, who ends up mm-hmm. being a very easy lightning rod. And obviously he deserves it for, mm-hmm. allowing those runners free bases, which is something you never want to do. Espada is obviously going to be a big lightning rod. But for me, as you mentioned, it's the lack of timely hitting, because if there's one thing I associate with the Houston Astros, both over an extended period of time, but particularly with this squad, is at least the top of the lineup hits well.
Yeah.
Right? Like you start with if you are having a promo, right? Mm-hmm. Like if MLB is trying to promote the game, which they probably could do a better job about. But when they do that, like if there was a name that you go, blank and the Houston Astros, who is that name?
Blank and the Houston Astros?
Yes.
Jose Altuve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one. Who's the secondary answer?
Alex Bregman.
Who's the third answer if that's the case?
Kyle Tucker.
Who's the fourth answer if that's
Jordan Alvarez.
Any of them really show up with the bats?
No.
In the course? You had three runs in two games.
Yeah, three runs in two games. Like
we could talk about mm-hmm. the pitching, but you had three runs in two games. How are you supposed to win baseball games like that?
Thank you. Because You know how, with games in general, I'm a big advocate. Our listeners know that. You know that. Figgy knows this. I'm a big advocate of like kind of absorbing the whole thing that happened and then taking a banner headline, so to speak. I always think that if you start with a banner headline, then you can kind of parse it out from there. The banner headline for me for this series was the Astros lost because of what they were than anything the Tigers did. That's the big takeaway. They lost this series the way they did more because of what they were than what the Tigers did. Now, the Tigers did great. That's not the takeaway. But they were a team that didn't have the timely hitting. They were a team that when you got into the postseason, you wondered about Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez. Kyle Tucker was an absolute mess.
0-7.
0-7 in the entire series and bad at-bats. Framber Valdez lost his fourth consecutive postseason game. So what the Astros were is what they ended up being in the postseason.
That's a great way of looking at this, especially because I was listening to Scott Van Pelt after one of these games. And Tim Kirkjian, who obviously had been on the calls for the games for ESPN or ABC, ESPN, what have you, that had watched these games, he mentioned when it came to this that A.J. Hinch said about his team that, you know, they don't do anything particularly well, but that also makes it difficult on teams to hone in on like a way to play them. And in some ways, obviously that is a super interesting concept, the idea that, hey, man, we could turn kind of a jack of all trades, master of none perspective into something that is some level of benefit, which is that feels counterintuitive when you think about it. But also at the same time, it kind of makes them a mirror.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of makes them a situation where the way that you play against them is, again, less about what they do, because what do you point to is what they do? And now it becomes about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the identity of this baseball team coming in, I imagine, was going to be, you have some solid pitching, starting pitching, but you're going to have offense that then carries you.
Yeah.
And both of those, well, I can't say both of those things because Hunter Brown went out. He
was really balling.
He played. He pitched incredibly well.
Yeah, yeah.
He pitched very, very well in the course of this. Like, maybe you say that at the end of his, you know, at the end of his time, he started kind of waning, but you pull him. I don't think
that you got everything you wanted out of him.
And more, in fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And more. So, like, but Framber is one of those names. It really was the people that you're supposed to depend on for this Astros team that did not come through. And it feels like you're also at a point in time where you have less, it's not as robust of a team to where you can lean on other people. Those tent poles for your team needed to come up big, and they didn't.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my whole concept of what they were versus what the Tigers did, you can even get a little more granular with it. It wasn't just Framber and Kyle Tucker, who, by the way, is 6 for his last 46 in the postseason.
That's unfortunate.
6 for 46 in the postseason. But you can get a little more into the weeds a little bit. This was a team that from the moment they signed Josh Hader, you didn't quite know what to make of it. You know, like, okay, what about Ryan Pressly now? Is that going to affect him? It seemed too early in the season. What about Hader? Is that the right way to spend money when you need, oh, by the way, a first baseman? You know, so you get into the weeds a little bit, and this is what they were. Chaz McCormick in the outfield. I said it before the game yesterday.
Sure,
before the game yesterday, I said I'm a little worried that Joe Spada is going to put Chaz McCormick in there. He's going to face right-handers because he's at the bottom of the order, and it's a bullpen game, and it's going to come back to bite him. Chaz McCormick had some bad at-bats again. Then you want to get even more into the weeds. You know, Joe Espada, he was questioned a lot early, sort of like, okay, he's doing a good job. And then we ended up giving him a ton of credit for the way he kept this team together, and he deserves all that credit.
As did players on this team.
As did players on this team. But he was not A.J. Hinch or Dusty Baker. A.J. Hinch managed circles around him altogether. Now, there were moments where Spotted did fine, but altogether. So, like, if you look at what they were, that's why they lost this series.
Yeah, and so really, really frustrating in that instance. I know that there's folks weighing in on the text line. We appreciate you doing that. And somebody said Kyle Tucker is the MLB's James Harden. Like, that's a really frustrating thing, and it probably that's I don't know that I can fully like refute that though at this point. Like, he has not come up big, and he's also like, as he is ascending in relevance and importance to your team, it does kind of put a spotlight on the decisions that you're going to have to make with this team going forward, right? Like, this is frustrating also because of like what it feels like you wasted. You know what I mean? Like, I do wonder for you if you're in the same space as me, Lopez, because I was also wondering, there was two questions. Mm-hmm. Where do you place the most blame? But also, what hurts the most about this loss? And for me, it was the idea that you had a crazy recovery from an AL West, or to win the AL West, where, like, this team was down horrendous, right? Yeah. And obviously, you highlight that by saying that they've always had those issues, but they managed to battle back from those issues. And you would imagine that in battling back from those issues, that then you've given yourself an opportunity to, one, know how to at least remedy those to some degree and come out and perform. And I understand this is the tough thing about having a real short wild card mm-hmm. series is that, you know, anomalies can pop up. But ultimately, you needed to be able to find a way to get this done after you rescued yourself from what seemed to be a poor fate early on.
Yeah.
Only to take all of that effort, all of that playoff type baseball that you felt like you were under that level of pressure for all that time, and throw it away at the end.
Look, if you ask me, this is an interesting question to me. Was it a good season for the Astros? I think the answer is absolutely yes. It was a very good season. I wouldn't say great because of how it ended, but it was a very good season from where they started to where they became. But then your question of, you know, where do you place the blame? I mean, I think what makes it interesting is, you know, where do you place the most blame? I think what makes it the most interesting is there's almost no wrong answer on this of the ones that we've been talking about and are the headliners. If I had to pick one person, like one person, which is not fair, but if I had to pick one.
No, it's always more than one.
Yeah. I would say Kyle Tucker.
Interesting.
I mean, meat of the lineup, 3 runs in 2 games. If you're going to be the guy and you're going to get paid, I think his contract value is something like $200 million, his market value. If you're going to be that guy, you've been in arbitration, you clearly have been frustrated with the... If you're going to be that guy and this transition is going to continue, that was the moment where you had to do it. You had to have come up big. And you didn't come up big. But it wasn't just Kyle Tucker, like I said. But if I had to pick one, it would be him. By the way, 7 years, $200 million is his market value right now. That was a bad way to do it. I think Josh Hader is on the list. I think Ryan Presley is on the list. I think
it's got to be those two guys are constituting a large amount of the money that you're spending on relief pitching in particular, but also pitching in general, right? Yeah. Hello, Lance McCullers also collecting a good amount of paycheck in that regard. But like those guys, as the dudes who are healthy that are collecting a big paycheck, you expect them to be nails. And those two guys combined for the downfall in that particular game.
Yeah. And then your second question is another very, very interesting one.
Yeah. What's
what hurts the most?
What hurts the most?
It's not even about the players or the team itself. What hurt me the most is it felt like last call. It felt like they turned on the lights in the club. You got one more shot. You know, you know, it's time to go get that last, you know, tequila tonic, whatever you're drinking.
Is that what you drink?
No, I'm a vodka guy. You know that. But whatever. A vodka tonic for me.
I was just wondering why that popped up.
Frankly, I am too. Okay. But it felt like last call. It just felt that's what hurt the most. It just felt like, I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I could show you. It was a good run. You know, family members, friends. Figgy, did you get any of those? Like, it was a good run. There you go. Here we go. Mm. Last call.
Mm.
Closing time.
Closing time?
Yeah. That's what hurt the most.
God, I hate hearing this song.
Yeah, too. Or, honestly, when you hear this song, you know you got issues, man. You stand till it's time to close.
Yeah. Like, it's multiple things. It's not just, it's like, man, why am I still out here? But then also, why do they keep using this song?
Yes.
Why is this
They got to be diamond at this point.
713-572-4610. And we're going to revisit this later with more detail. But did it feel like last call to you?
Yeah. I mean, because... Obviously, it ends the ALCS streak. Clearly, you're not going to get back there, which, I mean, I think that ends up being, for me, a little bit more, I don't know, bittersweet. Like, there's kind of a warm tone to that because I can then still appreciate the fact that they did go to all these ALCSs. And, like, that was, you know, a little disappointing. But then the idea that this is the possible end of the Bregman run with this team, you know, like, that could kind of also constitute the end of that tenure, both with Bregman and maybe with like your real opportunities to contend at a big way.
Yeah.
And we'll have, I mean, the next question obviously is like, what do you do going forward? And that is something that we'll have to talk a little bit more extensively about a little later in the program. But yeah, it did start to feel like that, or maybe not start to, because at the start of the season, especially with the way that this team began, that was immediately the thought that popped in my head, which is, oh, it's kind of wild that you have pried open a championship caliber window for mm-hmm. so long. That is not something in sports that you are that sports is built to do, even in a sport that does not have a hard cap and the way that they handle it. And so it, you know, there's ebbs and flows, and when is it going to be that ebb? And it feels like, okay, you might be coming up on the ebb, so you need to make the most of it. And unfortunately, you didn't get close to making the most of it because you were unceremoniously bounced from the postseason without a single victory in the postseason.
I was basically happy with this season because of how it started. But here come the texts. End of an era. One said, I don't think it's over. It's a much needed reset. Well, you know, depending on how that reset goes, this last era, this amazing era could be, you know, the last call for that. But both of those things. And somebody said Joe Espada is on the list. He absolutely is on the
list. I thought I had mentioned Espada at a point. And one of the things that I said, and I kind of want to bounce this off of you because I've been talking about it with a few friends as we, you know, broke down all of the game as it was happening, in fact, is that it, again, kind of felt like he was managing a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that at least now there's a little bit more experience in that, you know, next time, assuming that there is a next time relatively soon, that he has a little bit better perspective on it. But no, there's definitely plenty of blame to be laid at the feet of Joe Espada, particularly in this postseason, in this wild card, without even getting to the larger criticisms that there are of him.
And one last thing, you know, it didn't hurt the most. It's a question. Was there any part of you that was happy for AJ Hinch? Figgy?
Hell no.
No?
No, I wasn't happy for him, man.
How come?
Why would I be happy for him?
I mean, because he got unceremoniously... he was the only guy that actually, during 2017, he took a bat to a laptop because he didn't want them doing that.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
I get that, but... I mean, he had to take that responsibility, though.
No, man. He took the responsibility.
He was the manager. Yeah. So, like, I mean,
Hell no.
I'm not happy for him. I wanted to beat him.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I wanted to beat him. Yeah.
Look, I ain't sitting there. I could be rooting for him now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not rooting for anybody else. Hopefully, he can get one, but. Nah, I wouldn't happy for him. I want him to get swept.
I love this.
Yeah, like I don't know that I don't like hate him necessarily in any way, but like yeah, it wasn't like an overwhelming experience in a positive where it was like, oh well, good, like awesome. I'm just like, nah, man, whatever, man. This is
Texter. I was a bit happy for Hinch. It's weird because I can't quite figure out if I am or not because I wanted obviously the Astros to win.
But there are people that are saying they were a bit happy for AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that.
Figgy's hot.
I've learned that Figgy got a decent amount of petty within him. There's a solid amount of petty within Figgy. Do not cross him. Do not even give the perception that you have crossed him.
Why would I be a little happy for him?
Because he just did it to us. Yeah, you know, that's the issue there. Unfortunately, the Astros season has come to an end after losing to the Detroit Tigers 5-2. Man, when they went up 2-1, man.
Oh yeah.
It just felt like, man, you're in a great place.
Here we go.
They just didn't capitalize on many instances of having runners in scoring position or a couple of instances. Yeah. Well, we move,
it's
right?
It's damn shame what they did to that dog.
It really is. Ultimately, we move. We'll circle back around at 1 and talk about what they look like going forward, possibly, especially because the Bregman conversation is huge. Mm-hmm. It looms large over these Houston Astros. But you're just getting going here on a Thursday, rather, in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Cal McNair said at a community event that he expects the Texans to get better. So with all the things that we're talking about, where's the most likely place for improvement with this Texas team? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston,
Let's Get in the Loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio.
Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Thursday. Hope you're having a blast in H-Town or wherever you're listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. You can always get involved with the program. There's always the YouTube and the Twitch, both available to you. In fact, the YouTube Pal Pals is letting us know it's not a spotter's fault. Players lost this game, and absolutely they did lose this game, but you know, the idea of the difference maker necessarily. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Espada showed up in a big way there, but look, we can break that down at various points, or we can just let it go in some way.
Oh, we will. We absolutely will. He was good. Good isn't always going to get it done.
No.
You know?
I let you know, starting out with, like, the biggest thing for me was, hey, man, your bat's got a bat. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to get runs in that way.
They're called hitters.
Yes.
They're called hitters.
Breaking news.
That is true. So, yeah. Hit the baseball, gentlemen. Well, I guess next season at this point. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Or not coming up next. I done went to the wrong spot. Let's talk about this now, however. Cal McNair with the Texans. And this was earlier this week, right? Like, this was
a community event. I believe yesterday.
Or was it yesterday?
Tuesday.
I mean, Tuesday is typically when they make sure to have some community events as well. You know, because the Texans do a good job of, you know, representing this city and this area and taking care of the community. But at the community event, Cal McNair said that he expects this Texans team to get better, which, of course, a general optimistic take that you expect from the owner of the team. However, I don't doubt that he is sincere in that way. And with that being the case, like, if that's the stance that we're talking about, talking about, like, where and what portion of this team is the most likely place to get better? 713-572-4610.
Yeah, it hit me because, like, if you were to bet, and I know you're not a big gambler, but if you had to bet.
Not a gambler at all.
Okay. Nothing, really?
No. First of all, who got all that money to be to gamble? At least
nobody
I have not personally.
Nobody has money to gamble.
I think we've seen that apparently there's been some economic studies that saving has gone down significantly in the advent of legalized gambling. So apparently
no one has enough money to gamble. Like that, it's like that old line. You know how to make $1 million gambling? Start with 10 million. But it's fun. But if I were to bet on, and all these things that you hear us talking about.
Yeah, if I would bet with your money, sure.
Yeah, if you bet with my money on, okay, what is it? What is it? Like, if you had to bet, what part of this team is absolutely positively going to get better? Because offensive line, to me, I can't bet on that.
No. And I think the tough thing with the offensive line is the question that I've constantly asked is, even if / when it gets better, how much better is possible? Because that I think is going to help determine the aptitude of this team. But yeah, I'm with you there. I don't know that you can absolutely put money on the line and expect to get money back in a good way.
Like, where's the best value?
Yeah,
as better say,
I would probably say the edge rushers. I think they're gonna eventually pick up, man. Danielle Hunter is a dog. I think them two, him and Will Anderson, I think that's eventually gonna
pick
up.
Well, I jotted a couple of
them. I would bet my money on that.
That's a good answer.
So that's a very good answer, and it might be mine, but let me share with the listeners and everybody on YouTube and Twitch and you guys. I just jotted, tell me if I'm missing anything. Offensive line, would you bet on that? Wide receivers, you know, which obviously you would like to see Tank more.
Yeah, maybe I think, to me, I mean, what does betting on the wide receivers is?
Because, like, they're going to be what we thought they were.
Because Nico is good right now.
Yeah, Nico is great right now.
So I don't know.
Stephon Diggs has still been pretty good within the course of all of this as well. I think the real question is, like, are you betting on is, can you have, or can you get closer to what some people's expectations were?
Exactly.
Of, like, 3,000-yard wide receivers or whatever. Is this maybe more of the dynamic to be expecting, where you have kind of two guys really feeding and then maybe something else between the tight ends and the running backs and maybe your third wide receiver picking up the rest?
So we thought the offensive line was going to be much improved. We thought the wide receiver was going to be next level, as you just mentioned. We thought the edge rushers, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, might have 25 sacks between them. We thought the DBs, we might have had some questions on that, but we thought Lassiter and and Stingley might be like next level, and who knows about the safeties. Am I missing anything that we thought that has not reached its expected, you know?
Advancement in the running game.
Thank you. I'll put that down. So what would you bet on? Because I'm kind of leaning toward what Figgy said, the edge rushers.
Yeah, and that's really the, I don't want to say the easy answer, but I feel like it's easily supported in that answer, because obviously we know the talent that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. bring. Now, Danielle Hunter, it's actually been interesting because it feels like it also helps to make this bet, because even though there's been pressures, it still feels like when you're watching him that he is not living up to what the picture of Danielle Hunter is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's still space there for sure. But then also, Danico Autry ain't playing on his team yet, right? Like, you've got a couple more weeks till he returns, and that is a advancement, and that is a, you know, step up from what you already have, which has been solid, but it gets better when you add that additional level of pressure in there as well. So I think that, yeah, the pass rush, having more opportunities to get to the quarterback, I think that that is definitely an easy place to point to.
I think I'm going to, as much as I like Figgy's answer, I think I'm going to go with wide receivers. I think they're going to have a concerted effort this week, starting this week, to cut Tank Dell loose a little bit. Yeah, to because I think he needs his touches, and he's back, or should be, and he's been sort of like kind of lost in the muck a little bit, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely been some figuring out, some finding when it comes to this offense and having to utilize all these players, right? Like, I know that we all wanted to kind of think it would just be plug and play, but it is going to take a little doing to make sure that you get the football to everybody. And I understand that they've always understood that. They were like, hey, if you were open, you'll get the football. There's been some added complications with, you know, protection and the you know, penalties and those types of things making it tougher. But yeah, I do think that they will have a concerted effort to get in the football, especially because D'Amico Ryans, when talking about Tank Dell, you know, he made sure to illustrate again that they think Tank is great. Yeah. And I was starting to wonder, not necessarily if they thought Tank was good. That one, that's evident. But how they viewed him, because the way that he's been utilized early, he almost feels more like a depth wide receiver than a focal
point
wide out.
Yeah, he really does. And I feel like the other part of this equation, and it's a big part, kind of like last year, they started out the season trying to be a running team. And then Slowick said, screw it. Let's just give the ball to C.J. Stroud and throw the ball first to set up the run. I think the exact same thing is happening. They've tried. They had a lot of success in week one. I don't think they have the depth for the running game, you know, because Mixon's going to get nicked here and there. He already is. To consistently rely on whether it's Cam Akers or Damian Pierce or whoever. I think they're kind of transitioning just like last year. Screw it. So the other part of the equation is C.J. Stroud is going to be throwing the ball more, hopefully early on early downs. Tank Dell, they're going to make that effort to get him more involved. And I feel like Stephon Diggs in this, quote, revenge game might really start to blossom even more than he has already. And by the way, Nico ain't going nowhere. So I think the receivers are going to reach what we thought they would be.
All right, so we feel great about wide receivers, about edge, that level of progression. With the 3 minute remaining spaces that we've kind of identified here, being the offensive line, then also defensive backs, right? That portion of the defense, and then also the running game. Which of those do you feel the best about improving?
Probably the running game, even though I just said what I said.
Okay.
But only because I think Mixon, if he stays healthy enough, you know, you don't need Cam Akers to have 10 carries.
You'll get more individual brilliance is what you're now betting on.
You don't need Damian Pierce to have 10 carries. But I think they can complement him enough as a combo. I think Dare, you know, has proved that he's going to get some touches in not just as a blocker, you know. So I think the run game has potential there. Oh, I hate that word. I hate that word so much. So let me do the Sean Pendergast power ranking thing. One.
Does he has proprietary ownership?
Yeah, you have to give him credit.
On his station, yeah. Okay.
Right. You got to give him credit.
Let me take notes.
He's got lawyers listening.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want the lawyers
calling
me.
Don't take no Pender notes now.
No.
Just take some regular notes. Yeah.
Okay. See, now you're going to get a call.
So I can't go to...
You can't even say that word.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, so it's the Sean Pendergast power rankings.
Power rankings.
But I can't take the...
Notes. You can't take.
All right, I'm learning.
Notes. He's got at least two lawyers listening to every other show all the time. But if I were
Tacarillas around us,
if I were, I don't know if he's probably going to copyright that too. But anyway, if I had to power rank where I think they're going to reach what we thought they would be, one would be wide receivers, two would be edge rushers, three would be running game, four would be DBs, and that kind of narrows down what five is.
That's interesting. I think I might go DBs ahead of that.
Offensive line.
I think also,
There's also the, and Wesley mentioned this on the YouTube, the compounding effect of like, there is a marriage between front and back defensively. So if the offensive front is doing better at getting to the getting to the quarterback, that helps the defensive backs. There's another portion of this that we did not bring up that I think was mentioned, I think, on YouTube. The idea of special teams also has a need.
They haven't been great. They haven't been awful, but they haven't been great. Had a punt blocked.
Sims had an awful
game. Sims had a bad game.
He's still on the team.
They had a return, two returns. One was called back that were to midfield, right?
Although Kaimi's been has done a good job kicking one long field goal miss, but that's I mean that's the nature of kicking long field goals. Yeah, I do think that the return game in particular can get better, and that the execution will get tighter. So yeah, that also has a place for some growth. But yeah, okay, it's interesting to see where we have that confidence on the level of improvement with this team, and I guess everything all the way around needs to improve when it comes to discipline and cleaning things up, and that's something that. It has been expressed time and time and time again by the head coach, Mecca Rhines, in more and more growingly aggressive terms, it feels like, on how much is necessary to get these things right. So I guess with Cal McNair giving almost assurance that this Texans team will get better, it'll be fun to see them develop in that way because they do. They need to get better to get to the places that they want to be. All right, you're in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for a big birthday celebrations. CJ Stroud turns 23 years of age, 23 whole years of age today. And in honor of that, our question of the day, what is your ideal way to spend your birthday? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Question of the day, how do you, or what is your ideal, rather, way of spending your birthday? As a big shout out to CJ Stroud on his 23rd birthday. He is celebrating by practicing.
How about that?
Yeah.
He probably likes that. That's probably, yeah.
I mean, that dude seems to really love football, and if not football, right? Because I'm not in his brain. He seems to love competition and getting better, right? And so that all of those things feel like they are constituted within the concept of football and practicing. And so, of course, happy birthday to him. I think the Texans put out a tweet where they, or I guess probably on, they put it on more
they
platforms
gave him a cupcake.
Than just Twitter. But they gave him a cupcake. It was not lit. So I guess that was probably to protect him in all sorts and all fashions, right? Don't hand a lit flame or like a flame to your open flame to your franchise quarterback, right?
They might have lit it later. I don't know. It's just a candle.
Okay. I feel like you should proceed with an abundance of caution in all ways with CJ Stroud, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder. I imagine that he probably enjoys this this day celebrating his birthday. Although, if you had to guess, if there was another way that he'd appreciate to enjoy it more. What do you think it would be?
I think he'd like to be in California with his buddies and all his old family and friends. But he's such a Cali guy.
He is.
He mentions it in every.
Want to be at the pork?
Yeah. Every conversation, you know, like he's talking about another player from another.
That was your SoCal.
Trying to go to the pork.
Yeah.
Trying to go to the pork.
Yeah. like he'll even talk about opposing players. You know, he's a Cali guy.
Yeah.
He'll say stuff like that.
I mean, we got to respect it to some degree.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. You're proud
the,
as well.
The way the Texas folks are. Hey man, yeah. I can't be too mad at somebody
no.
else.
Yeah.
Like, where they're from.
No, he's proud.
Nah, I respect it, man.
Yeah, I do. Too. So I bet you he'd like to be in California hanging. What's your ideal birthday?
Me personally, it's shifted over the time and I'm trying to get better about it because I have been the guy who's like, I have not accomplished anything by a birthday just by, you know, being alive for another year, which I guess I definitely should not take for granted, of course. But it's like, that's not necessarily an accomplishment, but I've tried to change my perspective in that, hey man, anytime you get a chance to celebrate is a time to celebrate. Just go ahead and use it. Now, I have that mindset. I have not actually acted on it because I'm often just at work and then I'll hang out at the crib or chill out. But if I have an opportunity to maybe hang out with some friends, do something low-key, that's usually an ideal way. Around people that I love but without the stress of like
we're having a dinner party or we're going out. I'm like, just like, hey, y'all want to hang out? Maybe smoke a cigar, play
make sure
game,
everyone like RSVP.
Those people drive, man. My daughter is one. She has
what are we wearing? Are we dressing it up? Is it casual? I'm not doing all that.
My daughter has like a birthday month. Like, hey, it's June.
God bless her.
Yeah, it is. Your birthday's not till the 25th. I mean, it's like some people just love that stuff. I finally figured out, and Figgy knows this, I've never been like a big, they're going to do something for you for your birthday guy. I don't appreciate it, because I do, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's kind of your thing, kind of makes me uncomfortable. Like, why are you making such a big deal?
Well, I will say.
Yeah, that's how I am. Yeah.
It is nice to have other people that want to do things for you.
It is nice, and I appreciate it.
For me, I'm just not the guy who wants to go and do it myself. Like, I appreciate those folks, though, that are self-starters. They're like, I want a birthday party, so I'm going to throw myself a birthday party.
Yeah.
Do you? That's incredible. Me personally, I'm like, I'm not doing that. And so if there's somebody that's like, hey, this is how I want to show you that I appreciate you, to celebrate you, I'm in.
My perfect birthday is doing something that I love to do. And if
fishing?
Fishing, barbecue, chilling in the backyard with dogs and kids, you know, just like stuff that I'm very comfortable in. And so that's why, like, 2 people come, cool. 30 people come, cool. I just want to be able to do, you know, what I like to do. And the other thing that I think I kind of finally realized this too, Figgy, why I'm kind of like no big deal on birthdays. I mentioned this to Reggie before the show, I've probably spent 12, 15 birthdays out of town by myself. And that's not poor me. It was work related. Back when I was riding a car, I spent a birthday at spring training probably, Astro spring training probably 5-6 times. Final four. I remember one birthday in particular because it was when, remember Hank Gathers died for Loyola Marymount and Bo Kimble was shooting that left-handed free throw. I was following them around. I've done like, so I've often been by myself, and I'm like, cool, no big deal. You know, I'll go do something that I like to do, you know.
Fig, I'm interested for you, but there's quite a few people that have come in with doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Or my ideal birthday is being left the F alone.
Yeah.
Where are you, and are you kind of similar to any of those folks?
I'm kind of similar to that. Like, I haven't really done anything for my birthday in a minute. The last time I did was I took a trip. We took a trip up to Seattle randomly.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if I had to choose, I would like to go on trips for my birthday.
Ah, okay.
Just me and the old lady, just to kind of go somewhere, just kind of chill out a little bit. I'm not really a party guy.
So like,
I've never been a party guy at all.
Kind of almost vacation or like day trip, trip. Talking cruise, we talking beach.
Not that heavy. If we find a cheap flight to somewhere, that's how we ended up in Seattle. Found some cheap flights and said, hey, let's just go to Seattle. I don't know what's up there, but
we're about to find out.
Yeah. I had a good time. It's like, it don't have to be a beach or a cruise or out the country, but just like a cool little trip, a little quick little getaway trip. I'm fine with that.
Go somewhere different.
Yeah.
Walk around.
Okay. I'm not the big party guy. Like around here in the office, it usually happens with a lot of the salespeople. Whenever it's their birthday, they just like decorate their whole little cubicle or they decorate the studio. I'm so afraid of that, man, because I'm like, please don't do that to my space. Like, even though I like when they do that, I don't want them to do that to me.
You don't want all that attention?
Nah, man, nah.
It's interesting because it feels like, and I do wonder, I mean, if there's just people that have not responded or whatever on the text line, 713-572-4610. Seems like a lot of folks, at least that are responding, are very nonchalant about their birthdays. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, does that say something about generally like sports fans that are like maybe sports fans are a little bit less inclined towards that?
Yeah. Now, if somebody does, I'm trying to think if anybody's ever thrown like a party for, I'm sure when I was a kid, but like a big party, I think on my 40th birthday, I was in Kissimmee with the Astros. That's right. I remember that. But like a party, it's cool. It depends on how they do it, you know, like, you know, surprise, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like if somebody throws you a party, it all depends on like who's coming. You know, it's got to be the tight-knit group.
If I had to do a party, it got to be some type of cool theme, and it got to be all in or nothing. I don't want to half-ass it.
Yes.
Like, I always wanted to do, like, an 80s theme party or a 90s theme party. We got to go all the way in.
There you go.
Everybody got to dress in character. You can't just come in a regular suit or... Yeah.
Not allowed.
Yeah, if you come regular, you can't get in.
Yeah.
I want everybody to be in full character. That's the only time I would do like a party.
I respect it. Someone said the booty club. Shout out to you.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Person said, another one said a three-day weekend at Guadalupe, floating and hanging out on the river.
That's big time. Somebody said the casino. That would be my third one. Just
okay.
go hang out.
Just go to Vegas.
Roll the dice
or
a little bit.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah, if somebody gives me a stack of money to work with. And even then, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe I need to talk to somebody. Because like, it just feels like, I feel the anxiety thinking about going and like trying to celebrate myself by spending this money. Or like using this money that I'm, trying to
Why can't I just keep it?
I know, exactly, exactly. I'd rather just keep the money. And someone, we got somebody who's celebrating their birthday from the 806. They said today is their birthday, having family over. Then them and their wife are hitting the casino, as you mentioned.
You and CJ. And Nick Wright. And Nick Wright's birthday.
Okay. Yeah. Happy birthday to Nick Wright.
Yeah. His birthday would be on CJ Stroud's birthday.
Yeah, because
I don't give a damn if he's older.
He's taking down CJ every chance he gets.
Yeah, man.
I got to talk to him about that.
Yeah, he about to get unfollowed by me.
Wow.
It's getting to that point. Like,
on his birthday?
On his birthday,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
Like, when you say some wild stuff like that, man, it's time to
Anything
let
you go. That's a threat to the Chiefs. He'll criticize.
Yeah. No, his last take, I'm just like, brother.
Said he compared him to Gardner Minshew?
He tried to do the side-by-side. Who is this quarterback? Yeah, and who is this quarterback? Like, come on, man.
That always feels disingenuous. Like, I don't even like playing. When people start, well, player A and player B or player X, and I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Whenever he did that, when we were working together, I would always end it with, okay, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have Gardner Minshew or CJ Stroud, or does it not matter?
Yeah, you can't trick me. I know your game.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm familiar with your game.
Yeah. Exactly. Many people talk about sitting at, 713, sitting at home listening to Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging
out
with us. Hope that makes your birthday better. Somebody said they don't care. Best part is seeing their daughter's faces when they open their presents. Okay.
Yeah, that's
I like
me.
That. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. How do you enjoy... spending your birthday, what's your ideal birthday on CJ Stroud's 23rd birthday?
I think last year, CJ Stroud, I think he mentioned how he celebrated his birthday. I think he said he just went to the movies with his mom and
he
sister.
He sure did.
So he might be a low-key guy.
That's right.
So I'm guessing he probably gonna do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little dinner or something like that.
Yeah, that feels about right, especially between practice days.
That's where I'm at at this point. Just nice little restaurant, just chill with the lady and
y'all like take it. Do y'all take the day off for your birthday?
No,
nah,
never.
I never took the day off. No. The only time I did is when I went out of town.
Yeah,
that was the only time. But I never take the day. I'm working on my birthday coming up.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, that's a hint.
Yeah, you were talking to LUK, so I need to start planning to get
it's
you a gift card.
Hold on, let me see. Let me see without looking. Let me see if I can remember. Is it October?
Wait, no. Lopez, let me help you out. Hey, Fig, I know that we haven't talked about this before. When's your birthday, my man?
Oh, come on, man.
I think it's the 8th or 9th.
It's the 7th.
7th. Oh.
All right.
Noted.
Let me go to odysseyatwork.com and put my day in for that day.
Yep.
You guys will be working with somebody else.
All right. Okay, fair enough. That you made me think about, I don't remember what exactly you were saying, like maybe your favorite birthday or whatever. And I still remember my 5th birthday party. And I wonder if anybody remembers Exilorama.
What's it called?
Exilorama.
It was like an indoor
theme park.
Yes.
And buddy, my mom did it up big for that birthday party. And I'll never forget that. And it's one of the funny things because I'm a very laid back birthday person, but I still remember that time that she did it up real big for my 5th birthday party. And so, I feel like I am a man that contains multitudes, and maybe just maybe deep within myself.
I forgot about that place. My kids love that place, too.
Yeah, maybe deep within myself, I do want a big birthday party. I don't know.
Changed my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I got time till April, and we gotta do it up big. But yes, shout out to CJ Stroud, who I imagine keeps it low-key, but is definitely doing work, practicing on his birthday. 23 years of age.
I thought the question was going to be, what was you doing 23 years ago?
Or at 23.
Or on your 23rd birthday? Oh, God. That is a question.
No, just think about 23 years ago.
Well,
when he was born, what was you doing?
Ooh. Ooh. All right.
What year was that?
Buddy, I'll have to do it. Well, 2001, right?
Oh, Lord. It was 2001?
Oh, man.
We're doing the thing where everybody feels old.
He was
Thanks for that.
He was born at the 9/11.
Oh,
That's, so he wasn't even around.
Why'd you do that? Now everybody feels old. You know what? Abandoned ship.
Your franchise quarterback wasn't even around during that time, man.
Okay, gosh. Thank you. Let's talk to a man. You know what? A man that we can maybe try and see if we can make him feel old. Our guy, my Nigerian brethren, and a former Texan, N.D. Kalu. We talked to him about the Texans and the Bills next.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.